Good afternoon. It's Monday, January the 14th, 2019. And this is your good friend Dan in Little Saigon reporting at you. There's nothing really new to report, nothing too terribly pessimistic, nothing really that optimistic, just generally the same stuff. But I was thinking this afternoon about the kind of loneliness that creeps in, especially for people like myself, for whatever reason. And I think, yeah, maybe it is because I'm a screwed up person. You know, one of the, when you find yourself lonely at various points in your life, you could simply ask the question, am I, as a human being, just some kind of gigantic asshole, you know? Yeah, and that's one of those questions that comes to mind. Because maybe this is well deserved. I mean, the one thing I will say is that I used to be so upset with my dad for getting so angry, and yet I look at myself vis-a-vis some of the things that have happened in my life, especially when it comes to work. And maybe I do get too angry. You know, it's one of those questions. Am I unreasonably frustrated with reality? So I don't know if I have anything good to say or bad to say. But there are two topics, and they're not really directly related, but two topics for today. I don't think I'll give away the titles, but the first one is related to this question of loneliness. And in a way, the second one is, but in a darker, more sinister way. But I've been thinking a lot about some of my biggest mistakes of the last few years. And I've made a few. I mean, some of them were simply mistakes of being, how can I put this? Of believing I was in a place to help others when I should have really kind of just focused on putting the oxygen mask on for myself. But a lot of these were also just simply mistakes of trusting the wrong people. And in one particular case, which I refer to as the Goat King, because I don't want to say any more than that, I really trusted the wrong person in an absolutely, nearly, personally catastrophic way. And the way I trusted these people was vis-a-vis the internet, but specifically social media, something like, it was Twitter, essentially. And I would also add YouTube. And, you know, it's one of those things where via Twitter or via YouTube, you might read something or click on something and say to yourself, well, this is not too risky. I'm just clicking on this thing. And then I end up on some weird dating site, maybe. And then I end up interacting with people that I barely know. But then all of a sudden, I'm their really good friend. And if you're lonely, and like I said, I've had some loneliness in recent years. I got divorced in 2014, so it'll be about 5 years ago here pretty soon. Really 5 years since the separation last summer. So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I've had a few years of some really dark loneliness. And I would say 2016 was one of those years. It was just, every day I woke up hoping that the world would catch fire because I figured that's how I felt about the world. And, you know, the thing is, misanthropy, not misogyny. Misogyny is a different one of my sins. I say my terrible things against the female race all the time. That's misogyny. I meant misanthropy. Being a misanthrope and hating everybody, period, is an easy road. It's a lot like solipsism. It is incredibly intellectually consistent. If someone asks you, who do you hate? You say, well, I hate everybody. They're not going to do that. You know, how can they accuse you of picking and choosing? You're not picking and choosing anyone. You know, I simply just, you know, you could say that. Well, there were some times in 2016 where my loneliness went there too. And it was just this general sense of where I just didn't give a shit. If the human race wanted to commit collective seppuku or whatever, commit suicide on some grandiose historical scale. I just didn't give a shit. And that's not a very good attitude, but it wasn't like I was doing anything about it, nor did that perspective allow for any coherent interpretation to do anything. I mean, essentially, I was saying I didn't give a shit. And a lot of people get to that point. They don't always intellectualize it. They don't always make it sound fantastical. They just simply stop giving a shit. So I was on these social media platforms, Twitter and YouTube. I had a lot of videos on YouTube. I had a few followers on Twitter. And I ended up connecting to people that I thought were people I could trust and turned out to not be people I could trust. Now, this is not the whole story, but this is pretty much the story when it comes to the, you know, who I call the Goat King. And all my feelings considering this scenario, the case of meeting and interacting with the Goat King, is the following. Just because somebody seems like a decent person in the two-dimensional world of the internet, and I would include the two-dimensional world of the phone call and the Skype call and any interaction. These are not three-dimensional interactions. These aren't four-dimensional interactions. These are just two-dimensional. Anytime in that two-dimensional world, you got to be careful. You think you know a person, you think you know who it's going to be. You think because someone's a friend of yours on Facebook, they're a friend. Well, what if they're not? What if it's just the opposite? It's so easy. It really is. For people that don't care, it's so easy to mess with people. It's so easy to pretend to be somebody that you're not, to, you know, whatever, call it catfishing. But it's so easy to take advantage of people's desires. A lot of people don't want to be lonely. And a lot of people want to be liked, and they want to be liked by cool people. So if you can pretend to be a cool person and have a cool picture, and you know, maybe if you're pretending to be a girl, so your picture is really hot, or you're pretending to be a guy and your picture is really handsome. I mean, this is how this works. It's a scheme. And perhaps at some time in the way past, and we're talking, you know, a long time ago when we were chimpanzees, right? Maybe it had some evolutionary benefit. You know, there is this thing to, you know, social mammals and social creatures sharing information about how to survive. And so maybe if some chimpanzee is digging around a trunk in Africa for a worm or a grub, and he or she figures out a better way to do it, all the other chimps look and see and they say, holy crap, look at that, it's amazing. And maybe that chimp gets a dopamine surge. I don't know. I'm not an expert on primates, but my point is that the things that this structure appeals to, these are not the best features of people. You know, these are often very prurient, you know, and appealing to a very low kind of sort of human existence. Sometimes people try to be high-minded. I tried to be high-minded, but you kind of get sucked down. And the other thing is this, it's easy for people to play the pretend game where someone pretends to be somebody they're not. Because how do you prove they're not the person they're pretending to be? You know, vis-a-vis the internet, maybe you can do your research, and that's the thing. One of my many sins of 2016 is I was so desperate for human connection that I was really an easy mark. I mean, there was a time in March and April of 2016 where just about anybody could have come up to my door and said, Dan, do you want to go on some marvelous adventure to some far-off republic beyond Antarctica and be like, holy fuck, this sounds like the plot of the Iron Republic, but sure, I'll go with you because I'm being chased out of Florida. Yeah, in 2016, there was a couple months where I probably, I don't know, it's hard to describe as nihilism, but there's this weird place you get to vis-a-vis reality where you don't hate it as much as you don't love it, as much as you're simply pissed off at it, and you don't really want to go away, but you don't really want to stay. It's kind of like you just always kind of disgusted. And you do a few things to sort of to calm that, to numb it. You do some things, but really nothing completely works. So yeah, I gotta tell you, people on the internet will pretend to be people they're not. How the fuck do you know who I am? I mean, I am grotesquely honest in a way that probably is self-injurious. I don't know. If that's the case, I just don't give a fuck. But who the fuck am I? How do you know who I am? I mean, I say my name is Daniel John Sullivan. I can tell you I was born in Washington State a long time ago. I'm almost 50 years old. These are all true statements. I mean, almost is ambiguous, but if you think in any kind of realistic sense, almost probably just means a few years away. So I'm almost 50. I'm a ginger. I'm white. You know, am I a racist? I don't know. It seems like other people have to decide that. Like, it's almost like you have to do a 360, like in the business world, where your peers and your boss and the people that report to you review you. It's like, I have no idea. I don't think I'm racist, but who knows? But I am white and I'm middle-aged and I'm probably a burned-out software engineer. And I probably have no real plan for my future. And I seriously doubt at times that I ever had one. And I don't mean a plan, I mean a future. Like, having a plan for something in the age of discontinuities is a bit perilous. And maybe even, you know, one option is to sort of have that plan. The other potentially equally valid option is to have none. It's almost like it's a 50-50. You know, do you do it? Do you not do it? I think there are people who are trying to, like, live off the land and grow their own food and have chosen a location that's reasonably away from people, because that's where most of your problems are going to come from, people. I think there are humans who've tried to do this, but for most normal people, when things get bad, we just get washed away. And I'm okay with that, you know. I never really had a serious issue with that. I don't live in pretend land. But no, 2016 was a weird year. And I'm not saying 2017 was much better. It was kind of a horror for its own reasons. And I'm not saying 2018 was better. It was sort of mediocre. There were a couple weeks in 2018 where I almost felt like life was getting normal again. Almost. I would say a couple weeks. It's really creepy because it was right about the time that the, you know, Horizon Air or Alaska, you know, Air employee stole the plane, that I actually had some weird thoughts about the present and the future vis-a-vis people. That was last summer. So yeah, be careful two-dimensional friends and two-dimensional people, these people on the internet. I'm not saying you can't make friends with people off the internet. Kind of, that's sort of more ideal to actually get to know people in person. And if the internet becomes a vehicle for that, holy shit, that's probably pretty cool. But you got to be careful. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. The system is designed. Social media is designed. And really, the advertising marketing engine of the internet is designed to take advantage of people's fears and their desires. And, you know, the things that they need, the things they want. They're plugged into your psychology. And there are a lot of criminals out there who take advantage of that, especially loneliness. You know, of all the scams, in fact, before I switch topics to the final topic, I gotta say, of all the bullshit scams on the internet, I think dating sites are one of the biggest scams. It's not that I think that people don't meet, I think they do. And it's not that I think that, you know, the concept is completely broken. I think in theory, that kind of thing can work, but it's become just giant troll. And I know I've gone on these sites and I think I'm interacting with people, but I have no clue. You know, there's an incentive for a dating site to create make-believe people. Believe me, I know this for a fact, that there is an incentive for criminals and crooks and even just not so honest people to make fake dating agents who pretend they want to date. Oh, you're so handsome, and oh, you must do something exciting for work. It's like, you know what I do for work when I'm working? I write code, and more often than not, I fix shitty code. In fact, that could be much of the story. I fix shitty code. There's a lot of shitty code out there. And then maybe if I get a chance, I write some new code. I'm a programmer. It's not that sexy, actually. And these days, it's actually kind of depressing and existentially terrifying. And you're led into this strange labyrinth of bullshit and pseudo-realities of political correctness. That's software engineering now. Yeah, so dating sites online, I think they're total bullshit. You know, I've had people trick me and say, Dan, you should do it. Here's the reason why some guys will say I should do it. They assume I'm going to lie to women. And the truth is, nobody's perfectly honest. But I don't have it in me to set up a profile where I say things like, well, I've got a Lamborghini and blah, blah, blah. Listen, the only new car, technically, the only new car I have ever owned was repossessed a year ago. So that's how cool I am. And I, like I said, I'm almost 50. I'm not going to fill into a dating site, well, I'm the most awesome dude in the entire history of men. My testosterone level is in the upper 99th percentile of men whose arms are like 12 inches, you know, in diameter. And no, I'm not going to tell you this bullshit. I am who I am. And I'm not saying I'm a terrible person, but fuck, I'm not going to claim to have money I don't have. Why? Where's the upside in that? But here's the thing. On dating sites, that's what I think people do. That's why I think a lot of men score. I think a lot of men score because they take advantage of what women want and what they need. You know, they need, like most humans need, men need, women need, we all need some human contact. That's awesome. And what we want is to have human contact with people where maybe, who knows, maybe they're going to like be really successful and have money. So if we have kids, listen, people, humans are no more or less intelligent than probably a lot of other creatures when it comes to that. We create little narratives about sexual encounters in some cases. There are a lot of jaded people too. Anyways, so be careful of people you meet on the internet. Just be careful. That includes me. If you think I'm saying something that makes you sad or angry, don't listen. You know, there's lots of reasons to be sad. You don't need to have another, okay? If something I'm saying hurts you inside because you can't listen to it, because God forbid you feel uncomfortable for 5 minutes out of your whatever, sugar coma day, that's up to you. It's your business. But don't blame me for your inability to push a button that says off, on or off, okay? You can turn off a technology. You can stop listening. But you should also always remember that everybody you meet on the internet, including the person talking to you right now, you need to ask questions. I could tell you authoritatively that I am a fuck up. In recent years, I've made ridiculous mistakes involving my own wealth and professional life, and I've made ridiculous mistakes involving other people. And all of it together is a giant pile of shit. So I'm not a guru, and I don't come and talk to people saying, wow, why don't you be like me? Why would anybody, except for somebody that hates people, do that? But even having said all that, what if I turned out to be some super successful person? What if I actually had a yacht? What if I actually could do one of those commercials you'll see on YouTube that sort of breaks into your YouTube video where it shows some dude saying that money doesn't matter, but he's walking around his really nice, you know, his nice villa, his nice mansion. He walks around his money doesn't matter car that's a Lamborghini. Yeah. I could be one of those people. You don't know. I mean, I could talk about failure all day and I could end up being a success. Just like I could talk about success all day and I could be a failure. What do you really know? I'm not asking you that just because you've never been to Cleveland, Ohio, to assume that Cleveland, Ohio does not exist. I'm not asking you to be that paranoid. That's crazy. But what I would say is just because you hear somebody talking on the internet, don't even assume, at this point, given the relative advanced nature of natural language processing software in the computer world, I wouldn't even assume it's a person. You got to do your own research. In my case, I don't think the research is that interesting or that complicated. By the same token, you reach a point in terms of the economic world where you're so close to being off the radar, you're almost stealth. So I guess on some level, I suppose I am a bit removed from the standard methods of connection, but whatever. Anyway, stay away from crazy people on the internet. It is crazy. Do not go there. And the last topic will probably be short because of how long-winded that one was. And that has to do with, well, generally all this fear-mongering around Russian and Chinese super weapons. It's a little depressing. I mean, and for lots of reasons, but not the least of which, a lot of these articles come out of our Defense Department. And so it's our Defense Department that has flushed trillions of dollars down the tubes, has been fighting really stupid wars, and now is complaining it doesn't have the technology or the experience to take on these super weapons from China and Russia. Well, that's kind of a big topic. I mean, that's not the main topic of what I was going to talk about, but it's ridiculous. It's like these hypersonic weapons. Yeah, I don't know. Probably the Chinese and the Russians have hypersonics. It's supposedly a techno. I remember reading articles in Scientific American and other journals back in the 80s about the U.S. working on hypersonics. It's just that it might be the case that we have them and we pretend we don't. Kind of like what we did with the stealth bomber. It's entirely plausible. I mean, you think about the stealth bomber, it's been flying for 30 years. So maybe it's a super technology, or maybe there's something more advanced that it just sort of shadow, you know, it sort of creates a shadow for. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of paranoid and crazy. But the bottom line is this: I hate all the complaining from the deep state, neocon, Department of Defense type people that, you know, boo-hoo us, you know, we had all these trillions, but we had no way of knowing that the Russians and the Chinese would do anything with their money that wasn't stupid. I mean, come on, let's just get over this bullshit. This was really stupid bullshit. And people buy into it. They feel sorry for the military. Oh, boo-hoo, you wasted all this money. They did. And I count the wars as well. These wars have been a stupid waste of money. I mean, I'm an anarchist. I hate all the wars. But these wars have been particularly stupid and particularly wasteful. And if the real threat, according to their worldview now, is China and Russia, then these wars were excessively stupid because we created more people that hate our fucking guts. God, they've been stupid. Strategically stupid, tactically stupid, operationally stupid, pure and simple stupid. These wars have been about bloody murder and controlling natural resources and not much else. A lot of theft, a lot of criminal activity, a lot of, you know, heroin shipments, or I should say opium shipments. But beyond that, I really don't see the value in these stupid wars. But they have weakened us. So if we do need to have some super strong military to fight the Russians and the Chinese, which is really fucking stupid to begin with, then yeah, these wars haven't helped. But we're supposed to feel sorry. So there's an article, and this is the main topic. I don't want to go off on the whole how stupid the military-industrial complex is and how stupid these wars are, because I just don't think people care. I kind of feel like, and I'll just leave it here on this subject generally, that people, a lot of people out there, are so broken and so tired and so sad and completely in such a deformed place, existentially speaking, that if you told them there was going to be a nuclear war tomorrow, I don't know. I kind of think they would just shrug their shoulders and say, okay, then I have time for another beer and some cigarettes. I mean, that's the kind of thing I feel like, and if I'm being honest, sometimes that's where I'm at. It's like, fuck. Well, I guess I can go to the gas station. If I had any money, I would go to the gas station, get some cigarettes and some beer. I'd probably do that. You know, why not? I'm not sure they would be that upset in some cases. So it's a sort of a dark place. Anyways, I was reading an article on Zero Hedge about these Russian underwater 78 foot long, 5 feet wide, nuclear powered torpedo drones. They're basically torpedoes with brains, right? With some intelligence. They're basically drones, so they're not autonomous, but still they're remotely piloted, which when you think about it, they're nuclear. I think they're supposedly nuclear powered and they're nuclear tipped. I think that's the gist of these miraculous, nearly 80 foot long, 5 foot wide. Yeah, 5 foot in diameter, however it is, nuclear drones. And, you know, I have a lot of mixed feelings about this. It seems crazy. It's one of those cases of where you say to yourself, the madness of nuclear deterrence has limits. You want to believe that because, you know, you grew up being fed mutually assured destruction and all the nuclear theory, nuclear war theory bullshit about stages of nuclear war and limited nuclear wars and why we have bombers. We have bombers because it gives us pause, blah, blah, blah. You grow up with all this fucking nonsense around, you know, scalable, controllable, rational nuclear war, you know, as if such a thing could happen. Nuclear war is terrible, but they try to sell you that it can be kind of rational. And then you read an article about an autonomous, yes, remote controlled, but a drone, nuclear powered torpedo that can have enough explosive power to create a tsunami that would probably do a lot of damage to, like, I don't know, certain parts of Hawaii or, you know, certain cities on the West Coast of the United States. Not to mention the fact that when you set off a big nuke underwater, you often do, I think it's almost guaranteed, you're going to produce some really nasty fallout. Really, really, really. So you've got this multi-megaton bomb going off underwater that creates a tsunami. And then, yeah. And then here's the question. I know that everybody thinks that humans are perfect and infallible. And I hope that you recognize that as sarcasm. But given that humans are not perfect and not infallible, and again, this article was saying that the Russians were ready to deploy, like, I don't know how many, 30 or 40 of these things. So they're getting ready to launch a whole bunch of these nuclear-powered autonomous torpedoes with a nuclear warhead on the tip. And so you're hoping that the Russians are, you know, infallible, right? That they won't make any mistakes, that they're perfect. Because what happens if a hacker sort of taps into the signal and figures out how to control one of these, you know, nuclear-powered nuclear weapons underwater, these nuclear torpedoes? This is already a plot to a really bad sci-fi channel movie. And it's going to happen. Like, the Russians are getting ready to launch a remotely controlled nuclear weapons underwater. And who knows where they're going to patrol? Who knows how far they'll go? If they're nuclear powered, ostensibly, just sort of thinking about this, given that we have aircraft carriers that, you know, refuel every 15 years, if they're nuclear powered, they could probably stay at sea a long time, maybe weeks, months, if not years. So you have these autonomous nuclear torpedoes that, who knows, maybe Model 2 is completely autonomous because it's that smart, patrolling the oceans with nuclear weapons on their tip, tipped with nuclear weapons. You know, if you want to, you can imagine these as 80-foot long dildos powered by a nuclear reactor with a big old nuclear weapon on the tip and just the tip, right? How is this not a kind of madness? I know that people will say, well, Dan, you're just being naive. And keep in mind, I studied this stuff at one point. I wouldn't consider myself an expert in a theory of war, but I studied some of this nonsense. And I will tell you that a lot of smart people spend a lot of energy studying the science of warfare and understanding how to win a battle and how to win a war. But at the end of the day, it is a completely atavistic, backward ritual of mass murder, mass mayhem, mass chaos, and not much else. Mass destruction, that's it. You basically participate in a ritual of destruction. And at the end of the ritual, maybe somebody wins, maybe somebody doesn't win, who knows. But at the end of the ritual, you're all supposed to say, well, we're glad it's over. We're really glad it's over. We're glad this war is over and we've learned so much. This is the thing about these wars, is that they really are very dysfunctional from a psychological perspective. They are a lot like an abuse cycle, because every war ends and there's like these celebrations of, well, gee whiz, glad that's over. You know, hopefully we never do that again, but holy fuck, how did it happen? We don't know. It's kind of the way abusive situations develop. It's like, we don't know why we accidentally hit somebody. We just swung at them and it happened. My fist connected with their face. Underwater autonomous nuclear torpedoes, you know, armed with, I don't know how big, they mentioned 2 megatons for the small ones. My guess is there's probably 20 to 30 megatons for the bigger ones. And a 20 to 30 megaton nuclear weapon, yeah, if that thing goes off the coast of your city, you'll get a tsunami, but you're going to get a lot of nasty, nasty fallout. Highly radioactive, extremely dangerous, and yeah, a lot of people will die. And frankly, if a 20 megaton nuclear torpedo exploded anywhere within 5 miles of a city, the fireball itself would probably take out a chunk of the city, not the least of which just the air pressure change, the overblast. It's just so fucking terrible, but this is where we're at. You know, humanity has decided, for whatever bizarre reason, that it wants to do it again. We'll blow things up. We'll put people in uniforms. We'll play martial music. We'll have all the, you know, wonderful patriotic songs. And when it's all over, whoever wins, they'll reflect and say, well, I just hope that never happens again. But it does, doesn't it? It just seems to happen again and again. I have to say, though, if we're at the stage of nuclear torpedoes, I don't know how many chances we're going to get to do it again and again. I don't know if Einstein is right, if World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. If humans do it right, and you never know, if they do it right, so to speak, we might not have a World War IV. There might not be anybody left. So you just don't know. But yeah, so the moral of the story is, stay away from two-dimensional people on the internet. And by all means, don't get involved in schemes that involve autonomous underwater nuclear torpedoes armed with massive megatonnage nuclear weapons. Neither of the above is a good idea. And good night.